Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be finishing the book of Ephesians this morning, the wealth and walk of the Christian. And we are talking about spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul, in his closing verses of this letter, discusses three aspects of the believer's spiritual war. The adversary, of course, the devil. We got the world and the flesh. And then the armor of God, the character of Christ, the six pieces of armor. As Paul was changed to a Roman soldier, he was talking about an imagery here, there, about our spiritual armor as we fight in this spiritual war. And so Paul commanded his readers to put on six pieces of armor last week and to take the weapons and withstand Satan, and having done all, to stand. And we put on this armor by position at salvation. Okay, we have it already. But we are to continually put it on by practice in what's called sanctification. Regeneration, we're in Christ. Sanctification, we're becoming more like Christ. And glorification, we are like Christ, okay? One of them, we're free from the penalty of sin. When you got saved, you're free from the penalty of sin. You're not going to taste the second death. And then as you grow and more like Christ, you're being freed from the presence of sin. And ultimately, you'll be freed from the power of sin. And ultimately, you'll be freed from the presence of sin. Amen. I'll be glad when I get to heaven, shed this old body. Amen. There'll be no sin in heaven. Amen. And I'll be like my Lord Jesus Christ as we talk about that. Now, this morning, we're going to examine the activity of spiritual warfare, or the power or the energy, that the thing that empowers or energizes all of our spiritual warfare, and that is prayer. I know that Brother Ray's been teaching on the prayers of our Lord, but today we're going to reflect more on what Paul tells us as believers to pray about, okay? So we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the power of prayer. I think that prayer is the most untapped resource in the church today, right? We depend on anything else, but not prayer. And it's not only just any kind of prayer. Paul has much to say here in verses 18, 19, 20 about prayer. And so don't turn me off yet. I know how it feels. I used to be where you're at. Oh, we're going to talk about prayer today. That'll turn off the congregation just as fast as tithing will, right? But we're going to talk about prayer today. And so let's begin reading in chapter 6, verse 18. And if you'll stand in honor of God's word, and see, having put on this armor so we can stand against the wiles of the devil, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As for me, Paul says, this is what you can pray for me. Not my physical comfort, not that I get out of this prison, not for my financial welfare, but notice what he says. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, I pray that as we look at this passage on prayer, that you teach us again about prayer. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's look at this. What does Paul say about the believer in prayer? Number one, It's a textual sermon. It's all right here in one verse, really. We break it down. He says here, and first of all, in verse 18, praying always. That's the first point in verse 18 and A, praying always. Now this, as Brother Ray said in Sunday school this morning, does not mean that we're always saying prayers. It means that we're always in an attitude of prayer. It's what Paul talked about, pray without ceasing. Be ever in the presence of God with an attitude of prayer. I know that I wake up at night. I know I wake up because I woke up, right? But I know I wake up at night, and God will bring somebody to my remembrance, and I'll start praying for them, you know? And I'll be going down the road. God will bring somebody to my remembrance, and I'll pray for them, right? And wherever it might be, on a lawnmower or whatever, that's where I get my best meditation with the Lord, on my lawnmower. And I can't wait till the grass starts growing again so I can meditate some more. But how many of that, when you think God brings a remembrance of somebody in your mind, do you just pass it off and go on, or do you stop and pray for them, right? See somebody on the street, said, well, we'll pray for you. Well, stop right there and pray for them right there, right? And don't say, I'm going to pray for them later, because you're going to forget about it, right? So always in an attitude of prayer. Someone said, always be in communion with the Lord. Keep the receiver off the hook. And we're speaking about cell phones a while ago. I heard that on Facebook. Facebook is losing members quickly because people are tired of it. They're getting off of Facebook, right? They dropped like 40% the last thing I've heard, you know. They understood that they could do better things with their lives. So we're going to talk about cell phones and Facebook today, amen? But, how about studying your Bible? How about go volunteer someone instead of getting on that kind of stuff and demoralizing your brain? You know what I'm saying? But always leave the receiver off the hook with God. Never have to say when you pray, Lord, we come into thy presence, because we are in his presence. Guess what? We didn't come here to be in the Lord's presence. You brought him with you this morning. Amen? All of you brought the Holy Spirit with you this morning. You are always, no matter where you're at, you are always in his presence. Now, collectively and corporately on Sunday, we're told to come and gather with other believers, right? And to worship him in spirit and truth. And so we're always in his presence. And I hope you understand that fact. That will kind of help regulate your life about things you say or do and where you're at. I mean, you're in his presence, right? Wherever you're at, you're on holy ground because he lives in you, right? And so a Christian must pray always, because he is always subject to temptations and attacks of the devil. This is why we need prayer. If we don't pray and we're not prayed up, then we're going to be more susceptible to attacks and more likely to fall to those attacks. So a surprise attack has defeated more than one believer in their life because they forgot to pray without ceasing. So we're to pray always. Secondly, notice in verse 18, we're to pray with all prayer. Look, notice what it says in verse 18. He says, praying always, what? With all prayer and supplication. There's more than one kind of prayer, okay? We need to educate ourselves on this. There is more than one kind of praying. There is just right out the Greek word for praying, pray. But there's also supplication, when you bring your request to God. There's also intercession. That's a type of prayer, when you're interceding for other believers like we do at church and individually. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving, right? Thanking the Lord for what he has done for us. So the believer who prays only to ask for things is missing out on the blessings that come by intercessory prayer and by giving thanks, right? Do it with thanksgiving. In fact, thanksgiving is a great prayer weapon for defeating Satan. Someone said, praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. We may have something on our mind this morning, but if we'll take it off of those problems and we'll put it on the Lord and we'll focus on who he is and what he has done, you'll be a better person when you leave here today, right? Because putting our praise upon him. So intercession for others can bring victory in our lives. Remember Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. He has some terrible friends, right? We don't need friends like Job had. Man, they come to you with all this negativity, you know. Curse God and die. I forgot what he told Job to do about his wife or whatever it was. But, they just didn't give him good biblical counsel, you know. And we don't need friends like that, right? But when we pray to God, you know, he'll change even our attitude toward our friends. I found out in my life, he may not change that person, and I'll make sure I point over here, that person right there on that second pew, but he might change my attitude toward that person, right? You see what I'm saying? Are you not seeing what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Judy does, all right? You're seeing what I'm saying. Often we pray God will change them, when maybe God wants to change us to be able to live with them, you know, unless it's flagrant known sin that we need to take care of, right? So we need to pray with all prayer. And then thirdly, we need to pray in the Spirit. That's the opposite of praying in the flesh. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, so we need to pray according to the will of God. Look in verse 18c. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, what? In the Spirit. We can do whatever we do in the Christian life in the flesh, or we can do it with a Spirit-controlled life, right? We have a choice. Now, I believe, and I hear everybody else say this, I pray to Jesus, I pray to the Holy Spirit, but I firmly believe that the biblical formula is to pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit, okay? To the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. Why? Why is that? Because it is the Father who's given us all these gifts. It is the Son, for Christ's sake, who died for us on the cross. And it is the Spirit who indwells us and enables us to do the will of God and come to Him in prayer. And we do it because of through what Jesus has done for us, and we come eventually approach the Father who made it all possible, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 tells us that it's only in the Spirit's power that we can pray the will of God. If you're not praying according to in the Spirit, you're not praying the will of God, okay? You're praying in the flesh, right? And then, therefore, our desires are going to be different. We're going to ask for selfish things. We're going to ask for things that are not what God wants. But when we pray according to the will of God as revealed in His Word of God, you know, we have the handle on God, you know, basically is what I'm trying to say there. Otherwise, we're praying, we'll be selfish and out of the will of God. Now, it's possible to pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God, right? And yes, I know the Bible, people take it too far and say, whatever you ask, God's going to give you. But you need to read the rest of the verses. We ask in His will. We ask according to His word, right? As revealed in His word. And we need to do that. I could pray for a pink Cadillac. I don't know why I'd want a pink Cadillac. I'd give it to Faye, I guess. But if I could pray for a pink Cadillac all I wanted to, but if, you know, I think it's obvious that's selfish motives. I think it's obvious that Christine, she sits up here, she's my conscience while I'm preaching. You know, I can just look at her and tell what I'm thinking, you know. But I know that's too deep for most of you, but anyway, that's out of the will of God to pray for a pink Cadillac, right? Now, if you pray, I pray that you'll give Brother Ken a pink Cadillac, that's in the will of God, right? See? So now every once in a while, these prosperity teachers, they'll send you a letter and, you know, pray and this. And every once in a while, they'll take some of all the mega bucks people give them, and they'll go out and buy a pink Cadillac and show up at the door, and that'll keep other people from giving. Maybe they'll get a pink Cadillac, right? You know, that's the way they work, right? And so pray in the Spirit. Now, I want you to grasp that now. You can't pray in the Spirit if you don't know the Word of God. And you can't pray in the Spirit if you're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I hear lost people all the time say to me, well, I know the man upstairs. Me and him are tight. We got everything right. You know? I doubt it very seriously. Because if you haven't come the way of the cross and repentance and commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking all to follow Him, then you haven't come, right? All you prayed is some kind of selfish little prayer to make you feel better. But God's not hearing it. And so we need to pray in the Spirit. And then fourthly, we need to keep on praying. Oh, this is where I lose myself and I lose you, I think, right? Persistent prayer. Look in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Now the word perseverance simply means to stick to it and not quit. You know, there are prayers that I've prayed most of my adult life, you know, and God may have already answered them or not. I don't know. But just getting an affirmative answer to what I think His will should be is not necessarily God answering my prayer, right? God may want to do something else. He may want to do a work in my heart and prepare me, right? He may want to take that person home to glory, right? And we fervently prayed for Brother Avon, right? And it wasn't his will, right? And so we have to accept that, you know? You live in this old body, you got after Adam, and you're going to die in this life. And you can't go to heaven with this body, right? So, and things like that. But there are certain things that I have persistently prayed for. I prayed for John and Amy. Faye and I prayed for John and Amy that they would come to faith in Christ. Ever since even before we had kids, right, Faye? And, of course, God knew who they would be. And then we prayed fervently for Morgan and Kenley. I don't mean to be personal, but all of you have done the same thing. You prayed for your children, you prayed for your grandchildren, right? That they would come to faith in Christ. And that has been accomplished, right, in our life. And so now I'm praying for growth. You know, they would continue to grow spiritually and grow more like Christ and things like that. I pray for my grandchildren at school that they would be protected from the wiles of the devil and those out there who are peer pressured that would tempt them to do things that could harm them. You know, when I went to school, the worst thing they did, Brother Marcus, was smoke in the men's bathroom, the boys' bathroom, right? Now they got stuff, if you take it one time, you're dead. Am I not right? All right, are y'all with me? All right. I'm going to have to start doing like a black preacher now. Are y'all with me? All right. Because all they got to do is succumb to peer pressure that one time and take that, whatever it is, and it could kill them. You know, it's a different world, right? So we pray for these things, but the idea is persistence. Stick to it and don't quit. The early believers that were that way. Perseverance in prayer does not mean we are trying to twist God's arm, you know, into doing what we want him to do. No, because our goal is to pray the will of God and what's best for him and what's best for us. But rather, we're not trying to twist God's arm, but we're deeply concerned and burdened and cannot rest till we get an answer from God, whatever that might be. It might be no, it might be wait, or it might be what we are praying for. Now, there are people that actually tell us, and I don't see it in scriptures, tell me over the years, well, you're copping out by saying, if it be your will. No, it's in the scriptures. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, nevertheless, thy will be done, right? He could ask the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane if there's another way to die for the sins of the world than a cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, right? And we're not copping out. We're not giving up on God. We're just praying scripturally, right? So keep on praying. Now, someone said prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth, right? In the disciples' prayer that Jesus taught them how to pray, he says, thy Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And our prayers usually tries to get what we want done in heaven so it can come back down to earth to us, right? Now, it's getting God's will done on earth. Most of us quit praying just before God may answer the prayer, right? In fact, if you're like me, there are times I've prayed for something so long and then I quit praying for it. Then a year, 5 years later, it happens. And I said, you know, God answered that, but I quit praying for it, right? So we need to keep on praying until the Spirit stops you or the Father answers your prayer, okay? Don't quit. Keep on doing. What do we say? We'll say, well, it's doing no good. God's not hearing me. Well, number one, you got to do a self-examination of your own life. Might be something there hindering your prayer getting out, right? And then number two, if you're a child of God and you're walking in the Word of God and the will of God and you're not asking selfishly and for false motives, or you're not asking like that, he promised us in John that he will hear us, right, and those prayers. So what about prayer? Well, number one, we pray always. We pray with all prayer. Pray in the Spirit. You know, by the way, let me stop there. Pray with all prayer. Let's grow a little bit in our prayers. Instead of getting up and praying the same old prayer you prayed 40 years ago, you know, be able to adapt and be open to God and pray for whatever's going on and do it in a little different way, right? And y'all know my beef, okay? I'm talking to everybody that prays, okay? When you come down and they call on you to pray for the offering, pray for the offering. We don't pray for the lost. We don't pray for the sick, right? We don't pray for everything else. Let's pray for the offering and the opportunity that we have to give it to God. Amen? So that's what the Bible says, whether we like it or not. All of our prayers need to be focused in whatever part of the worship we're doing in that morning or evening service. So we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to keep on praying. But lastly, in verse 18, we're to pray for all the saints. Notice that in verse 18. and supplication for all saints. A saint is someone who is, the word saint means holy. They've been declared righteous by position. They are holy ones. And by position, they are in Christ. They are holy. Forensically, as God looks at you, he has given you the righteousness of Christ. That's what the word saints means. Now, we always don't live holy, but we are to pray for one another. In fact, the word saints is always plural in the New Testament. Saints are meant to be together, and we are called saints many more times than we are called Christians. Christians was a term given to the church by the world because we mimicked and mocked Christ, and we followed him. So it was a term of derision given to us as Christians. Now, look what it says there in verse 18. Supplication for all saints. The Lord's pattern for the believer in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not the disciples' prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John 17. John 17 is not the Lord's prayer. He didn't have to pray that prayer because he had no sin to be forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses, right? It is a model or a pattern that he's given to the disciples to pray. And how did they begin that? Our Father. They didn't say my Father, right? When you're in the church, you're praying for other people to believe. You're praying for the corporate body of Christ, right? He is our Father, not my Father. We pray as part of a great family that is also talking to God, and we ought to pray for the other members of God's family. Even Paul asked for the prayer of support of the Ephesians, verses 19 and 20. And here's a man that went to the third heaven and back. And if he needed the prayers of the saints, then how much more do we, right? Notice verse 19 and 20 as we begin to close here. Notice what he wanted them to pray for him again. Ask for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's in chains while he's writing this letter, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He didn't pray for his release. He didn't pray for they'd bring him a better meal. He didn't pray that they'd send him a lawyer, right? He didn't pray they'd send him a mattress, right? He prayed for his ministry, that it would be effective, and he prayed for the gospel to go out with great power. Okay? Y'all see that? That's a lot different than some of the TV evangelists and some of the prosperity gospel prayers that you hear, right? Paul prayed for his ministry and his witness and the effectiveness of that in his life. Notice he prayed for utterance, that he would be able to speak with the word of God at the right opportunity in the right place and say the right thing. But not only utterance, but utterance or boldness in that speech, that he would be bold. If you think that sharing the gospel with Roman soldiers who have you in chains and you are chained to them is not bold, then you are badly mistaken, right? He prayed for boldness, and he prayed that he might make known what? The mystery of the gospel. Not how to be healed, not how to plant seed faith money and get rich, but that he may have the power and the utterance and the boldness to share the mystery of the gospel. You see it? Boy, how much we've left that path, right? Now let's read the text again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication and all spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may make known, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads as our musicians come. Father, this morning we have been taught from the Apostle Paul about prayer. And Lord, we come up so short because I just wonder sometimes, even me, Lord, what you think about our prayers. And how selfish they are, and how self-serving they are. Help us to be kingdom citizens that pray for the cause of the kingdom, that pray for the power of the gospel to go forth swiftly and to do its intended work. that we may have boldness in this day of compromise, in this day of political correctness, that we will have boldness to share the gospel and never back down from it, whatever that may cost us, and even our life. Help us to be better prayer warriors as we go forward from this day forward. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know that they're condemned. They're sinners. They were born that way after Adam. And they're going to spend eternal separation from God unless they come and realize that they're sinners and their sin separates them from a holy God. Unless they realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven because he lived a righteous life and he gave to us his righteousness that we could stand before your presence one day because of the great exchange. Our sin has been placed on Jesus on the cross and his righteousness has been given to us by your mercy, and we can stand boldly in your throne one day in your very presence because when you look at us, you see the righteousness of Christ that has been given to us. And I know, Lord, we don't always live righteous. I know we don't always live saintly. But, Lord, that's why you tell us in 1 John 2, we have an advocate with the Father who can forgive us our sins, not for salvation again, but for our fellowship and our walk and our rewards and our usefulness and not being a stumbling block to unbelievers. Help us to realize, Father, that we already got all we're going to get. We just need to walk in fellowship with you by confessing our sins. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not talking about coming to Christ for the first time. That's talking about saints who are saved, who sin. So, Father, help us to understand those great truths. The one here today that needs to come to Christ, we, the church, say come. If the Holy Spirit is inviting them, we, the church, say come. Father, have your will and way of this service, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.